Live in our hearts, fill this body, stir our spirits, help us serve. Walk with our feet to the hurting. Let us be you, revive your church. Let us be you on this earth.
Good morning, Mission Viejo church family. What a great day to be gathered together to worship God the Father through Jesus Christ with, of course, help from the Holy Spirit, because we all need that from time to time, don't we? I am so grateful for your presence this morning. I'm seeing a lot of faces that I have not seen before, and we're just so excited that you're here. Grateful to our visitors that just are passing through or maybe looking for a home church. So grateful that you're here this morning. Grateful to our new families that have just recently placed membership here, excited about you, and so grateful to those who have recently put Christ on in baptism, and extremely grateful for air conditioning this weekend. Amen. It was so hot this weekend, I was just blown away. I asked my dog permission, right? I told my dog to go outside this morning, and I'm not a dog whisperer by any means, but it looked like my dog mouthed to me, "You go outside this morning." So, I mean, it's just, you realize how hot it was down here. You didn't tell me that. But what a great day to be in the house of the Lord, to be gathered to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're looking for a home church, I would tell you to stop looking today. You have found the place. God wants you here, and I'm just letting you know that, okay? So go ahead and fill out that card in the back of the pew stating that you'd like to be a member here, because we'd love to have you plugged into this wonderful, wonderful church. We are a great group of people, and we are fired up about the Lord, excited about what He's doing in our lives and in this community. And like I said, we want you to be a part of that. The story goes that there was a preacher who was preaching on a Sunday morning, and there was a visitor that came to visit his church. And from the pulpit, like preachers do sometimes, we're able to pick out visitors and see where they are. So this preacher saw this visitor, and after the sermon, he walked to the back of the auditorium and stood back there, kind of like I do. And as this visitor was walking out, he said to the visitor in very strong words, "Son, you need to be a member of the Lord's army." And this caught the visitor off guard just a little bit. And the visitor was really quick, and he said back to the preacher, "I am a part of the army of the Lord." And the preacher said, oh, really? Well, how come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter and New Year? He said, well, because I'm a part of the Secret Service. You know, this morning we're going to be talking about service. And I think that God wants us to serve openly and not merely be church consumers. I believe we live in a day and age, in a culture where people come to church to get their spiritual fill, which is a great thing, but when they get their fill, they do nothing with it. So this morning I want to spend a few moments of our time talking about service and what service is like and how to get plugged in. The title of the message this morning is Saved to Serve. Saved to Serve. Because I believe that children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, are all called to serve. Now, I was looking for some kind of YouTube clip, some kind of video clip that talked about this idea of service or serving. And what I found was pretty interesting. I had to scroll through a whole bunch of video clips that showed people being rude to each other. And it took me a long time to actually find a clip to find where people are being really nice to each other. So if you bear with us for just a moment, I want to show this clip, and I want you to kind of think about what's going on in the clip. Sweet clip. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need some help. I don't know about you, but there are some times where I'm just so frustrated and fed up and I'm going through so much difficulty that I make mistakes and I need help. This morning, I got my college roommate here sitting in the front. His name is Josh. We've been knowing each other since we were teenagers, so he can verify some of these stories that I'm talking about this morning. But I got a story. We were in Arkansas, Searcy, Arkansas, and the Razorbacks won this weekend. Amen. Go Pig Suey. But we were in Arkansas, and I was at a drive-in ATM. I don't know if they have those in California or not, but I was at a drive-through ATM, and I took out my ATM card, and I stuck my ATM card in the machine, and I was going to pull out $20. So I punched in the code, and I pulled out the $20, and I left. But I forgot something that was still sticking out of the ATM machine, and it was my ATM card. And I remember I drove all the way home, and then I came back, went back to the ATM machine, and it was gone. Now, typically what happens is the ATM sucks in that card and chews it up, right, I think. But that day, I was just so distressed, and I didn't know where it was, and I actually went to a bookstore that was next to the ATM machine, and I walked in, and somebody recognized me and gave me my card back. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I sure am lucky. You know, I only had $20 in the bank anyway, so I don't know what it would have done, but I'm so excited and thankful that someone thought enough to do that for me. You know, as Christians, we're called to serve others. We're called to be stewards of the kingdom, to conduct random acts of kindness, to help others out, and oftentimes it takes initiative. So in looking at this video, there are a couple of things that I want to pull out from this video that were kind of neat. First of all, we see in this video that there were a lot of people that needed help in passing. I wonder how many people we encounter walking from the grocery store to the car that need our help. I wonder how many people we encounter from the time we exit our vehicle and walk to our workplace that need help. I wonder how many people you saw on the way to church this morning that needed some kind of help. People everywhere need help. People everywhere need encouragement. People everywhere need some support from time to time. Also in this clip, what we see is we see people kind of looking at these situations and someone stepping up to the plate and showing a little bit of initiative. Initiative is a word that we use in the Army that means you step up and you do something without anybody even having to ask you. You just stand up and you do it. So what we saw in this clip is we saw people taking initiative. And then lastly, what we saw is we saw a seed being planted, right? We saw a person looking at the situation and going, oh, that was really neat. Maybe that's something that I can carry out. So we saw these three steps. And we're going to look at Scripture this morning, and I think these three steps are pretty clear as we examine Scripture. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to open up to the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. But before we get to the text, I kind of want to set the stage of what was going on in this story. What we know from the book of Nehemiah is that the children of Israel had been destroyed and had been taken captive. They were living a sinful life. They turned their back on God, and God said, if you do that, guess what? You're going into captivity, and some bad things are going to happen to you. So we're in this season of the children of Israel being taken captive. Jerusalem had been destroyed. People were distressed and distraught. The people in Jerusalem needed help. In Jerusalem, there was a remnant that was still left behind that witnessed all this destruction, that were having hardships, and they knew that Nehemiah was in a position of authority. So in chapter 1, we see a brother of Nehemiah's, a friend of his, going up to him and saying, hey, our people are in bad shape. Our home is in bad shape. Jerusalem, the walls and the gates have been destroyed and burned down. And then we look at verse number 4 of chapter 1, and we see something pretty powerful that happened to Nehemiah. It says this, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven. What I love about this passage is we see the heart of Nehemiah when his people were going through hardships. We see the empathy of Nehemiah, and we see him being so distraught, being so discouraged that he prayed and he fasted. I wonder how many of us have that same heart or that same mindset when we see people that we meet in passing that need help. I wonder how many of us have that mindset when it comes to the church. If the church is broken or there's some systems that are not in place that are formed correctly, I wonder how many of us go, man, that's just so terrible. What am I going to do about it? But that's the first thing that we see Nehemiah doing. He wept and he cried. Now, the most intriguing thing that I learned about Californians coming from Arkansas in college back to California is that Californians don't like to make eye contact with you and they don't like to talk. Say amen if you can, right? Have you been there before? I remember when I came back from the South, from Arkansas, I would walk down the street in Los Angeles, and I'd be walking by, hey, how are you? What's going on? And people look at me like something was wrong with me, right? And that happens all the time. You can be walking down the street and pass, and you know what people do? And keep on moving, right? Nobody wants to be in your business. Nobody wants to be connected or tied in this culture that we live. But as Christians, it doesn't matter where we are. We're called to be in the lives of people. We're called to be in the lives of people. So we see Nehemiah in chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, going through something. So Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Now that occupation, you think you have a bad job. My goodness. The cupbearer. Nehemiah's job was to taste the king's wine before he drank it to see if there was any poison in it. So if Nehemiah drank the wine and he killed over, the king knew that he probably shouldn't drink it. And you thought your job was stressful, right? Very difficult job. And we see in verse number 2 of chapter 2, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. What we see in this text is Nehemiah hearing about the destruction of his hometown, hearing about the distress and the difficulties that people were encountering there, the remnant there. He said to the king, I need to do something about that. I need to step up and I need to show a little bit of initiative. And like I said this morning, church, there are people all around us who are hurting, who are in tough, difficult places, and it takes people with character and with heart to step up with initiative to do something about it. And as Christians, we're called to be that type of people. So Nehemiah takes initiative, and he decides to go back to his hometown and build the temple walls, rebuild the gates. And you know that when Nehemiah went back to his hometown, he never encountered any hardship the entire time he was there, correct? That's not what the scripture says. It's amazing that when you try to do good for people, how much difficulty you encounter in trying to do good. Have you been there before, church? Go out of your way to be kind to someone, and in turn, they treat you rudely or poorly. You know how discouraging that really can be. So Nehemiah goes back to his hometown and he begins to build the temple walls. Turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. And the scripture says here, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in the day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And then goes down, even if a fox climbed on it, he would break down their walls. So as Nehemiah was trying to do something righteous, as he was trying to be helpful, as he was trying to be kind to someone, opposition was there, right there. And then we get over to a powerful passage that I want to spend some of our time on this morning, and it's in chapter 4, verse 17. If you don't hear anything I have to say this morning, church, remember this passage in verse number 17 because it's powerful. It says this, who were building the wall, those who carried materials, did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Meaning that while Nehemiah and his associates went to go rebuild the wall and took initiative, in one hand they had to steadily build, in the other hand they had to fight off the people that were just trying to destroy their work. Did you not know that our spirituality, when it comes to helping people, when it comes to serving, is the same way? Just don't think that if you step out of your way to help somebody, it's going to be all easy and peaches and roses the entire time, as they say in the South. It's not going to be that way. In one hand, you have to build. In the other hand, you have to fight off the devil. Because guess what, church? Satan can't stand what we're doing here. He can't stand the fact that you're a Christian. He can't stand that you go out of your way to show initiative to do kind works for other people. He can't stand the fact that you're serving. So all he wants to do is to destroy you. And sadly, he uses other people to do that. But the scripture says we got to build with one and continue to fight off the devil with the other. Don't be a coward. Don't let Satan destroy your work. Don't let him discourage you. Keep your head up and keep working is what we learn from this text in Nehemiah. For a moment, I know she's going to be upset that I say this, but I was amazed by the work that Susie has been doing this week with Marguerite Christian School. I don't know if you've been around and you've seen what's been going on, but Marguerite Christian School was amazing. On Friday, this auditorium was full of parents. And I don't know how difficult it can be working with parents and their children, but Susie never lets that discourage her work. She continues to build and continues to fight off Satan when the work is trying to be destroyed. Susie, you're doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. I had to do that this morning. Sorry, Susie. Don't beat me up afterwards. But church, whatever work you try to do that is in the name of Jesus, that is good, is going to be under attack. And then we act like, why is this happening? I can't take it. Satan is destroying my work. No, you hadn't been in the scripture. You got to keep that sword in one hand and the shovel in the other. And don't let anything discourage you or stop you. And that's what we read from this text. Nehemiah took initiative. We see another example of a seed being planted in John chapter 13. So open up your New Testaments to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And I want to spend some time here really exegeting the scripture and pulling out a couple of truths that I think are practical for us today. So John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, very profound, profound passage of scripture. It says this: "It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." I want to say this. Serving others shows the full extent of our love towards God. Isn't that what the scripture says? You show forth your love for God by how you conduct yourselves and how you love and serve other people. And here we see a great example of this through Jesus. Jesus knew, number one, that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus already knew this. Satan had already tempted him. And you know what Jesus did with Judas's feet? He kicked him out of the way. "I'm not washing your feet." That's not what he did, right? The scripture says he got down on his hands and knees and began to wash Judas's feet. The very person that was going to betray him. The very person that turned his back on him, the very person that was trying to do him evil. Oh, that's so hard to do, church. But Jesus did it. When evil was there, he still continued to do good work. He didn't let anything discourage him. People will always hurt us when we try to love them and serve them. I want you to remember that. But that's a part of being a Christian. It's a part of keeping your chin up and your head held high and your back arched. People are going to discourage you and be rude and mean and nasty, but you continue to serve anyway with a smile on your face, and you tell Satan to get out of your way. It's powerful. And in thinking about this story, it's so profound to me. I don't know about you, but I don't think food and feet mix well at the dinner table. I don't know. I could just imagine the disciples being there. Walking in, they've been walking around the dusty ground. They had those sandals on that they wore, maybe barefoot, right? And they were eating at the dinner table. I don't even like when people smack at the dinner table. I really don't want to see your feet, right? So they were there, feet all out in the open, eating food, you know. And Jesus, I can see him pausing in the middle of eating his, you know, hummus or whatever he was eating, right? And bowing down and beginning to wash his disciples' feet right in the middle of it. And what the scripture says is he took on the garments of a servant. What he did is he wrapped a garment around his waist. And it was actually the servant's job to wash everybody's feet when they came into the house. But Jesus put on those servant garments, got down and washed his disciples' feet. Oh, I wish we had some people that were excited and energized about putting on servant garments. But I think we live in a culture where we don't like to put on servant garments. We don't like to get down and roll up our sleeves and get a little dirty. After all, because we're a consumer culture, we want to come to church and we want everything to be comfortable and we want to be fed and then we want to leave. But I think that's Satan's deception, church. We're not that kind of people here at Mission Viejo, and that's what I love about this church so much. We have people here that are willing to get their hands dirty, to roll up their sleeves, put on that servant garment, and serve. And if you hadn't gotten to witness it yet, you need to come and see the work that Hal is doing in the fellowship hall back there. Just the other day, I saw Hal out there sweating, 90-degree weather, with a screwdriver screwing on something. You have to come check out Comfort Cafe, seeing all the people there that are serving. You should come and check out all the different ministries that are going on. We have people here that are excited about service. That's what makes this church so great. So he took on the garments of a servant. And he had this mindset. There is no job that is too low for a Christian to do. Not one. I don't care how much knowledge or intelligence you have. I don't care how much money you have in your pocket. There is no job that is too low for you. And that goes against culture, doesn't it, right? You know, I'm a white-collar worker, so I don't do things like that. Let other people handle that. That's not what Scripture teaches. It teaches that we're all blue-collar workers. And we get down and we work hard no matter what. And that's what's so exciting about being a part of the kingdom. And then we see this all happening while they were partaking of the communion, the Eucharist, or the Passover. So many times when we take the communion, and maybe you did it this morning, you took the communion and you were thinking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Or you were thinking about how you have been saved from your sins through what Jesus did. But what I love about this text so much is we see a different perspective on the communion. This communion was taking place in the midst of service. And I would encourage us that every time we take the communion, the bread, the wine, and we give our offering, whenever we do that, we're always reminded that it's not about us, but it's about what we can do for the kingdom. And when we partake of the communion, that's what we're saying, church. I take this bread and I take this wine, and it means I'm no longer about myself. I'm about serving other people. And that's what you did when you took the communion this morning. You said, it's not about me. I'm moving from selfishness to selflessness. And that's hard in this culture that we live in. The story goes that there was a preacher who was preaching a message. I think he was a Lutheran preacher. And every morning he would get up and preach and he would say, "The Lord be with you." And the congregation would respond, "And also with you." And this was his MO every single Sunday. But one Sunday, the PA system wasn't working, and we don't know anything about that, do we? Just messing. The PA system wasn't working. So the first thing that he said was, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And the people responded, "And also with you." You know, I think oftentimes we're stuck in going through the motions of church and of work and of life, and we're not engaged with what's going on in the world around us because we're so focused on the mundane routines of going to church and living life that we're forgetting that the kingdom is so big and there's so much work to be done that we neglect it sometimes and we're just kind of going through the motions. I don't know about you, church, but I've been there before. Make sure I go to church, make sure I'm there to hear the sermon, to sing, to give. Go back home, get ready for work, and we miss out on what's going on in the world around us. We're so busy in our own zone that we forget that there's people all around us. Through the Holy Spirit, I think God is communicating to us that there are people who are in need. There's people all over the place in need. And sometimes we just miss out, church, because we're so busy going through the routine. So how do we transition from that? The last verse I want to look at this morning is found in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15, Scripture says this: "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," I'm going to pause right there. I don't know about you, but washing those disciples' feet seems a little undesirable to me. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you like doing that. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, going out and helping your neighbor who's next door cut the grass, especially in this weather, seems a little undesirable to me. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And what I can confidently say about this church, as for the Mission Viejo Church of Christ, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're doing it here, church, and I would just encourage you to keep up the good work. Service is oftentimes undesirable and difficult and hard because you got to get a little sweaty. You got to get your hands dirty. Sometimes people are going to mistreat you. Sometimes you're going to get discouraged, but we're going to serve anyway. Service to God in sincerity and truth can only result from a free and willing allegiance of the heart. That's the only way, church. And I believe this morning that we are saved in part to carry out God's purpose of serving those who are in need. I heard about a missionary who was trying to stir up the interest of people to get them to go to the mission field, I think over in some foreign country in India. So he came and he was preaching and he said, "We want people to get involved. We want you to get involved with this ministry, this work." And there was a lady who came up and talked to the missionary. And while she was going up talking to the missionary, she had her son, and she was dragging her son alongside him, alongside her. And she went up to the missionary, and she said to the missionary, "I feel called to go to the mission field. I feel called to serve in that capacity. I just feel like God is calling me to be a missionary." And the preacher said to her, "I think God indeed is calling you." And he pointed to the little boy, and he said, "There's the heathen he wants you to preach to." You know, oftentimes, the ministry God wants us to complete is right in front of us. We're so busy looking off in the distance, so busy looking at these big, grandiose ideas of how we can involve, and ministry is right before us every single day if we just kind of open our eyes and look. I guarantee you, church, on the way home today, you're going to see somebody that needs help. Guarantee you, church, that tomorrow when you get up for work and you're at your workplace, or tomorrow's Labor Day, you won't be there. On Tuesday when you go to work, somebody's going to need some help there. And I would just encourage you to transition your mindset just a little bit and get involved in the kingdom service that God has called you to do. This morning, we're saved to serve. And this morning, maybe some of you are here and you've been questioning how to get involved in service to God. I hope we gave you some practical ideas and examples on how to get plugged in. Ministry is right before you all the time. But the reason you can't get involved in service is maybe because you haven't given your life completely up to the Lord yet. Maybe you're saying to yourself, "I'm not where I need to be just yet, and that's why I can't really serve." This invitation is for you. I think God is knocking on your door saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, and I'll show you what you need to do. Give your life to me. Transition from selfishness to selflessness." And maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. You need to put Christ on in baptism. Get involved in the kingdom work because it's the best work that you can ever be involved with. Or maybe you are a Christian and you forgot the story of Nehemiah. You forgot that serving others is difficult, and in one hand you have to build, and the other hand you've got to fight off the devil. And maybe you've let the devil discourage you just a little bit through the words of other people. This morning, God is here. He's here to help you. He's here to encourage you to build up yourself, to get involved in kingdom business. We've got a song of invitation selected. If there's anyone here that has a need, that wants to get plugged into service, that wants to get fired about serving God, has been sitting on the sideline for too long and is ready to roll up their sleeves, put on that servant garment and get ready, this invitation is for you. Whatever your needs or concerns are, won't you come together while we stand and sing the song of invitation?